Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Welcome to VFN TV. I am your host, Greg Lancaster, and today we have Art Thomas with us. He was with us yesterday's program, but he's with us today again. We're talking about his manual called the 40-Day Paid in Full Activation Healing Manual. And also, there is a movie that he produced and put together. Art, we're so glad to have you on the program.
Thanks.
I was so encouraged by what you shared with us on the previous programs. We're working our way kind of topically through the 40-Day Activation Manual. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't got this activation manual, you've got to get it, because it's you need to be activated now for what's about to happen. We can't play church. We got to be the church. And it's okay. It's easy to do. We just got to do what God says. And it's exciting, it's exhilarating, it's challenging, but that's what he called us to do. And that's what Art's talking to us about. Art, again, we're so glad to have you with us, and excited about how God's laid on your heart to teach the church to do what Jesus told us to do.
Right? Thanks, yeah.
Isn't that amazing? He says, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. It's like, really?
Yep.
I thought that was just for like the man of the cloth or something like that, right?
Right. It's for every disciple.
Yes, yes. Well, we talked about on our previous program about, you know, God wants to heal everyone, the price that Jesus paid for us, processing things that you know, what happens and what doesn't happen sometimes, and overcoming, you know, obstacles to healing. This time I want to talk to you about some of the ways that God heals, because sometimes we get stuck in some mode, you know, and think it only happens this way or that way. Talk to us about what are some of the ways that God heals?
Yeah, in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus said, or the Bible says that Jesus gave his disciples power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases. Mm-hmm. So power and authority, first of all, those are probably the two default tools that we have. Everything else kind of fits under the category of one of those two.
Okay.
So I've had people say, aren't they the same thing? Well, not really. For instance, you've got the woman with the issue of blood reaches out, touches the hem of Jesus' garment, and Jesus said, I felt power go out from me. That right. Greek word is dunamis, okay? Mm-hmm. It's power. Luke 6, you see the similar thing where, I think it's around verse 35, says the people were all trying to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. So power tends to happen through physical contact.
Use the word dunamis there too. Is that, that when the beginning of Acts, or the birth of the church, didn't he say, then I will...
Bingo.
Oh, wow.
You will receive power.
And that's dunamis. You will receive dunamis.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep. And then in Acts chapter 5, Peter's walking down the street and his shadow's healing people.
Right.
So it's not just physical contact now, but because the Spirit is upon him,
right,
all around him, he's immersed in the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Right. People are just getting close to Peter and getting zapped, you know?
Right, right.
So that's the power tends to happen with proximity and especially physical contact. Authority, on the other hand, can happen long distance.
Right.
There's the centurion who says, you know, my servant's sick, but I'm not worthy for you to set foot in my house. Just say the word. And the centurion's statement was, I'm a man under authority,
mm-hmm,
and I have men under me, and whatever I say goes. And he was identifying Jesus. I know you're a man under the authority of your Father in heaven, so what you say goes. So authority flows from being under authority. James said, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. So it's almost like we're a curved pipe getting shoved under a waterfall. When we get under the authority of God, the authority is able to flow out of us, and the devil flees. If we're not under his authority, he doesn't flee.
Yes.
Right? So
you talked about the centurion too, and he said, I haven't seen the greatest measure of the substance that pleases God the most. The measure that had the greatest amount of faith was a centurion soldier, because he understood about that alignment, getting up under Father God. That was a powerful thing, you know?
Yeah. Your authority is based on the fact that God's Spirit dwells in you, has made you a new creation, and you've been seated at the right hand of Christ, Ephesians 2, 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, at the right hand of the Father, on the same throne as Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's your authority. Your power, on the other hand, is based on the fact that you are clothed with the Holy Spirit, endued with power from on high. So there's kind of the inner working of the Spirit for your sake to put you in a place of authority, and then there's the outside working of the Spirit for the world's sake, right, where you are walking in power. So those are two tools. And then the things that fit under those categories, for instance, we mentioned Peter's shadow, this proximity thing. Acts chapter 19, handkerchiefs and aprons that touched Paul's body, right, were taken to the sick, and demons fled, and the sick were healed. Mm-hmm. So somehow this power was even being transferred on physical objects.
Right.
We see that happen. I mean, gosh, I heard so many stories, so many crazy stories while we were doing these interviews. And I think we wrote about some of them in the book. Like, Brooke Potter told us about someone he knew who baked a cake and brought it to a meeting and said, everyone who eats a piece of this cake is getting healed. And everyone who ate a piece of that cake got healed.
Wow.
So, I mean, God
can use all kinds of things. Cake and healing. I like that.
Yeah,
cake,
buddy,
and healing. That's good.
Yeah, who wouldn't want that?
But it's faith.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. In the book of Numbers, I think it is, mm-hmm, there's this outbreak of venomous snakes that comes and is attacking the people of Israel. Mm-hmm. And Moses comes to plead on their behalf. And God says, make a sculpture, a bronze sculpture of a snake, hoist it up on a pole, and everyone who looks at it will be saved. Mm. And these people, they'd be bitten by a snake, they're, right, dying of this venom, and they look up and they see a sculpture that Moses made,
right,
and they're instantly healed. So there are these obscure ways that God heals. And that one, basically anytime God tells you to do something specific and you obey, mm-hmm, and healing results, that's authority. Because you have come under his authority. So that's why word of knowledge is valuable. Like if I'm in a meeting and the Holy Spirit says to me, minister to this condition right now. Mm-hmm. Like I know there's a guy with a crutch over there and a guy, right, in a wheelchair over there, but he just spoke to me right hip.
Right.
And if I go after those things when he's telling me right hip, right, I'm in disobedience.
Right.
Unless one of you guys, your problem is a right hip, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just gonna call out what he told me and I know that person's getting healed. And there's been some other caveats to that the Lord's been teaching me on. But
when you say told me, I mean, a lot of people are wondering, did you hear an audible voice or does it snowing?
Good question.
Yeah.
Very often, it's just this subtle impression. Like, right, I just felt something.
Right.
The Holy Spirit's able to make you feel things in your physical body. That's right, why Jesus could say, I felt power go out from me, you know? So I very often I'll just, you know, have a very slight warmth or a tingle or just an awareness of a part of my body,
right,
and then speak it out. Usually when God speaks, you know, Jesus said in John chapter 6, I think it's verse 44, he said, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, mm-hmm, for it's written that they will all be taught of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So if you're a Christian, you've heard God's voice.
Right,
and
right.
A lot of people think, oh, I've never heard God's voice. No, if you came to salvation, you have. The beauty is, when you came to salvation, chances are the sky wasn't ripped open and the voice boomed out, come to me, right?
Right.
It was, you heard the gospel,
right,
something inside of you said, this is right, I need this. That, right, was the voice of God. So usually God's voice to me, just something inside, right, feels, this is right.
Right.
So there will be an impression, and a sense, this is right. That's God's voice.
That's so
there will sometimes be a thought that comes into my mind, mm-hmm, and the feeling,
right,
this is right. That's God's voice. So go with that. It's usually very
subtle. Try to limit God to our own language, as if he's limited by this language or that language. But, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words. I remember when I was, all of a sudden, I just smelt cigarette smoke for some reason. Uh-huh. Just like all this smell. Like, how could that be? You know, and instantly, you know, that's why I got somebody needs to be delivered probably from the addiction to tobacco.
Yeah.
And paying attention. I mean, he's obviously doing it all the time because he's got to pay better attention. And when we ask, you know, he does. And it's the knowing, you know, because a lot of people just go, well, I've never heard a voice. And they've heard it all day long, probably saying, don't do that no more. Don't do that no more.
Yep.
So that's a very encouraging. You know, when we're some of the ways that God heals, if you say go down to the river and dip, that's authority because they're actually having to go to that water and act that particular thing out.
Yep.
And that snake you're talking about, that Moses, isn't that on the doctor's collars? Isn't that what the logo is on the?
Yeah, that's what that medical logo is on a lot of our insurance cards and on the. Yeah. Snake on a pole. It's healing.
So powerful.
Healing provision.
We're talking with Art Thomas about his 40 days paid in full healing activation, man. You got to get it. Go to VFNTV.com. Art, I want to ask you one question about an obstacle because we talked about that in a previous program, but I want to and then jump to the other. But this is so important, you know, because you talked about we're still us. You know, God's using us, but we didn't change. I mean, we're still us. And so many people, in a comparison, you know, talking about different obstacles that we have, and then God begins to do things, and sometimes we don't realize what He's, how awesome it is, and get familiar with what God's doing. But you have people that say, you know, if I just had $1 million, if I just had $1 million, you know, my life would be better. And then they get $1 million, and they're still them. They still have their faults. They still have their challenges, and they're so a lot of times depressed because they're thinking, you know, I still got me in this whole thing. And it, and what God is doing with us, it's Him doing it. And but we're still us. We still need each other. We still need to be discipled. You know, one of the things that you talk about in the end of this manual, which I think is so important, is the character. You know, God is so into healing, He will use people that don't even know Him. And people don't understand that. Healing doesn't mean you're saved, it means they're healed.
That's right.
I mean, you know, because Matthew chapter 7 says many people will come in the last days and they will be convinced that they were right with God because God's name was powerful, His Son's name was powerful, people were healed. And He says, I never knew you.
Yeah.
And so that comparison, people are surprised that my life didn't change when I got more money, for example. And in ministry, you know, when we start seeing, you know, revival break out and things happen that we never happened before, we still have us in the midst of this. How do you recommend that challenge of, it wasn't you that brought it to pass, is God doing what He's doing? I mean, talk about that a little bit, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, you've already kind of shared the scripture behind it, but I've learned that my relationship with God and what I do in ministry are technically two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they should go hand in hand, by all means. If I have a healthy relationship with God, it's going to result in ministry. And if I'm doing ministry, I'm going to be more effective because of relationship. But Jesus said, there will be those who were doing all this ministry, but He says, I never knew you. In fact, in Luke chapter 9, one of my favorite passages to talk about, Jesus first sends out the 12, and then before the chapter's even over, they're arguing over who's the greatest.
Yeah.
They're, you know, they're wanting to call down fire on a whole village and destroy, kill a bunch of people that didn't receive them.
Right.
They're being exclusive, like, you know, we saw this guy casting out demons in your name, and he wasn't one of us.
Right.
And Jesus is like, no, stop, guys, you know? And you would think this would give Jesus pause before He sends people out in His name, right?
Yeah.
But the very next chapter, He sends out 72 more. And the very next chapter after that, one of them asks, Lord, teach us to pray.
Mm.
So these guys aren't even confident in their prayer lives yet or any of that stuff.
Right.
He's just so passionate about the lost and the mission that He will use anybody.
Right.
So that has a lot of implications because, number one, it means just because I'm successful doesn't mean I have it all together.
Right.
Right? So I may be seeing lots of souls saved and lots of people healed and lots of kingdom stuff happening, but that has no bearing on my relationship with God and whether or not there is one. So when you look at somebody else and you're like, man, their ministry is amazing, that doesn't necessarily mean that their relationship with God is amazing.
Right.
And that also means if you look at someone else and you see their ministry isn't that amazing, they don't have miracles, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't have to call out names, but there are big evangelists around the world who are doing incredible things for Jesus and have incredible legacies that never worked one healing miracle.
Right.
But their relationship with Jesus, you know it's there because you can see just the love that pours out of them and the character and the integrity they walk with. And you know, some of the classic people we would think of, they are just, you know, they've got the relationship side.
Right.
So just because there's not all that stuff doesn't mean there's no relationship. Which means what is, the Bible's true. Man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart.
Right.
So it tells me I don't need to figure out who to model my life after other than Jesus. I look at Him, He's got character, and He's got power.
Yeah.
We need to be walking in both. So don't satisfy yourself with power and say, all right, woohoo, I've arrived.
Right.
Focus on the character stuff. Let the power stuff happen. We need both.
That's one of the things that we really focus on. I call that hoodoo. You know, that I am what I do. You go to those meetings, you know, and they're like, what are you doing? I call those doo-doo meetings. I'm doing this, you're doing that, you know, but nobody's asking, how are you, you know?
That's
and,
good. Yeah.
And so what we try to do with the VFN Dream Center is we walk people through the Emmaus Road discipleship to get the character to walk with God, to abide with Him, and then walk them into the activation so they have the, you know, giftings can take you places that your character can't keep you.
Uh-huh.
And what you have done and what you guys have put together is such an important part of I believe, answer to our prayer of helping to make healthy disciples.
Thanks.
You know, for Jesus. And it's in that pathway that we have you guys right on that pathway after, you know, discipleship, and it's now it's time to be activated and to walk. It's just a blessing. You've got to get this manual. It'll bless your heart. The next thing I want to talk about that's in your manual is attaching the message to the ministry. You know, some people pray and they walk off, you go, did you tell them that about God? Or did you anything? You know, like, no, but they're healed. I'm like, oh. Attaching the message to the ministry. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, like we'll start with the caveat. And the caveat is this: you only can do what you have time for and what the other person has time for.
Right.
So a lot of ministry really is just seed scattering. But if you notice biblically, the seed was the word.
Right.
Healing was not a seed. Mm. The seed is the message. And it's the message that bears fruit. Mm-hmm. So to just heal somebody with no message attached is not scattering seed.
Right.
And a lot of people think that that is, and they're satisfied with that, and that's where we're missing something. So our job is to be seed sowers, mm-hmm. right? So we go out there, we use healing ministry for a few things. Number one, it captures people's attention, right? So if somebody gets out of a wheelchair in a Walmart, you better believe that's going to draw a crowd, especially right. if they start jumping and shouting and things like that.
Right.
So you know, if you've drawn a crowd, buddy, now's a golden opportunity. It's time to start telling them what just happened and why.
Right.
And that's where we tie the message to the healing. And we say, you know, this, what just happened here is proof that Jesus has power to save, that his blood is still relevant today. Sometimes the message is just as simple as saying, you see, that's just proof that God loves you.
Right.
That's Jesus right there.
Right.
Just doing that, even that's a little seed that has benefit and value. If that's all you got time for, praise God.
Right.
Something's got to come out of your mouth though,
right.
so that these people have a seed planted and not just an experience that they have to try to figure out what just happened.
I love the way you connect, and because Jesus connected it, but if we got to keep it connected, that I can heal you or I can forgive you. That same blood, that same moment is just to say, you know, the same Jesus that just healed you, that same death, burial, and blood that healed you can save you right now. All you have to do
exactly.
is, okay, yeah, it's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, because James said the prayer of faith will save the sick, if he's sinned, he'll be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm able to do with people is if they just get healed, I can look them in the eye and say, do you realize that's proof that Jesus has forgiven you and wants a relationship with you?
Wow.
And that, yes, I mean, it opens the door. They've just experienced the kindness of God. And what did Romans say? It's the kindness and the compassion, or the kindness, God's kindness, tolerance, and patience that leads us to repentance.
Wow, that's powerful. That's very powerful. So also, the next thing you talk about is healing ministry as a normal part of our life, because a lot of people, okay, I'm gonna be in ministry versus, you know, living your life this way, you know, being the church, you know.
Yeah.
Talk about, you know, making it a part of your normal life.
Yeah, a lot of people ask me, you know, how can I start doing what you're doing? It kind of, number one, bothers me that in the church in general, let's take healing out of the picture for a second. Anytime you find someone who's passionate about Jesus and obviously is stirred up to do some sort of ministry, mm-hmm. we shove them in a church office somewhere, and and they are trapped in a cage. And that's how I felt when I was there.
Yeah.
And I mean, there are people who are called to be in church offices, and they're going to do something for the kingdom because God's put them there.
I call those, you have lengtheners and you have strengtheners.
Uh-huh,
you know, you have people
But with that said, just because you got a passion for Jesus doesn't mean you got to be on staff at a church somewhere.
Right.
You know, every Christian is supposed to have a passion for Jesus.
Right.
So, you know,
that's
our
one of the most dangerous places, I think, to be. Like, oh, what happened? He was on fire,
so
then he became staffed.
So true. Yeah. So we've got to get out on the streets. So people ask me, how did I get to do what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
The answer, honestly, is I just started doing it.
Right.
And I wasn't looking for a platform or a pulpit. I was looking for a park.
Yes.
You know, you go find somebody, get out there. People want influence over people without paying a price for those people.
Yes.
And the easiest way to get influence over somebody is to go get somebody saved.
Right.
You want disciples, go get someone saved. Most of us, we show up at a church and we say, I've got a calling on my life. Give me some disciples.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, no, go make disciples. That was your calling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, my job is to go out on the streets, to go into the highways and byways, to go to the stores and the homes and the living rooms and door to door and house to house and the sidewalks and the parks and all those things in my workplace. And find people and love people and sacrifice for people. Pay this price of doing it when nobody sees you.
Right.
And what the Bible says is that God opposes the proud but exalts the humble.
Right.
And if you humble yourself before the Lord, he will exalt you in due time, right?
Right, right.
So if you want a platform that's big and public, the answer is to be the type of person that God wants to promote. Because if you promote yourself, there's going to be a public crash.
That's
but if you let him promote you, then the integrity's there, and he's gonna help carry you in that. And if you'll stay in that place of integrity and stay in that place of humility, that's where you succeed. So even if he's the one who exalted you, it doesn't mean you're off the hook.
Right.
Like I still have to keep myself in check and have to have people around me to help keep me in check.
The same that God brought you there to take you out of there. You know, we're to cover these. I really want to cover over the next thing here in your book that you cover about. Maturing in the ministry of healing. That's such a powerful thing, you know, because giftings can take you places. Your character can't keep you. And sometimes when people begin to see it early on, they stop the maturing process. They just stop and they go, okay, God healed someone, now I'm going to run with this. And their marriage falls apart, their life falls apart, and it ends up on a bitter dead end somewhere. But can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, I mean, pride will do some weird things.
No.
It's just kind of this, this self-focus and things.
Yeah.
It's very easy for you to shift the place where you draw your identity from being Jesus to being the miracles. Mm-hmm. So that these miracles and the ministry and all that becomes who I am instead of my identity being rooted in him. Mm-hmm. So what often happens is if I lose sight of that and start pulling it over here, if the miracles, like miracles go up and down, like we see lulls and we see peaks.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's where my identity is, my emotions are going to be based on the lulls and peaks of what's happening in ministry. Man, I haven't seen anybody get saved in a few weeks, you know, and so I'm feeling terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, man, I'm being a bad minister, I'm being a bad Christian, and my identity's in my ministry, not in Jesus. If my identity's in Jesus, then the lulls and peaks become irrelevant. I want more peaks because I want people saved, but that's now coming out of love, the love of Jesus in me that compels me rather than out of discouragement and feeling like I need to perform and like I need to put on some show so that everybody still sees me as who I think I am.
Right.
You know, one of the big problems we tend to have, and this is not a Bible thing, this is a psychology thing.
Mm-hmm.
We can collapse when someone else's, when, how would I put it? The view that we have of ourselves is challenged by someone else's view of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we think certain things about ourselves and someone else thinks something different and we are like, oh no, my world's falling apart. Because, you know, they're not recognizing what we see.
Right.
But if we would just look at Jesus, let him be our identity, let him speak to us who we are, suddenly my view of myself is not based on what I think of myself or what anyone else thinks of me. It's all based on what he thinks of me. And what he thinks of me happens to be better than what I think of me.
Yes.
You know, he calls me the righteousness of God in Christ. He calls me united with him. He calls me friend and all those things. So we got to keep our identity in him. We've got to, you know, keep our head on straight when it comes to after the miracles happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that happens also is pride will get us to think that we're the only one who can do what we do.
Right.
And so there can be this easy shift. You know, I mean, the temptation's there sometimes for me to like be in a meeting and there's a, you know, I have everybody, I turn them all loose on each other, right?
Right.
And they all minister to each other. And the temptation on me, out of love and compassion, we'll usually say, all right, if you're not healed yet, everybody's got to go. We got to close this meeting at some point. But if you're not healed yet, come on up to the front and I'll be happy to lay hands on you.
Right.
And if I'm not careful, the thought can take root that says, I'm going to shore up the rest of this take care of what everybody else missed.
Right.
And if that happens, God opposes the proud. I'm not going to see any results.
Right.
You know, this has to be just basically, listen, some people have to go. I'm going to contend for this. So what I've started to do is say, all right, and anybody else who wants to stick around and be part of this, you come up here and you minister too.
Right.
Like if if I have to, you know, have a line of eight people, I'm going to take time with each one, and this is going to take a while.
Right.
So,
right.
you know, if someone wants to stick around long enough for me to get to them in line, that's fine. But I, listen, it doesn't have to be me. It can be anybody. They've got the same Jesus I have.
It's important when you think about the Lord that he's seeing us, him get the glory when we do that, and that we're sharing what he's doing so everybody gets this great, wonderful encounter with him and his love and his goodness and all.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.